of you receive every week, there's this email sort of send out from the UUA. It's called Braver and Wiser. Reverend Erica Hewitt leads that. And just a few weeks ago, there was a particular one written by Daru Farrar, who is a music director in Portland, Oregon, entitled Wanting to Break Free. And I'll share that with you now. Daru Farrar writes, I'm often accused of being too reserved. And there's truth at the heart of that. On the spiciness scale, my expressiveness is on the mild end. And I'm sure that stems from my disdain for being the center of attention. Still, I'm frequently advised to loosen up and offered the clarification, that was a joke. And it makes sense. Because as children, the older black folks around would warn us to not show our color. Later, I learned not to be too feminine either, whatever that means. These responses are clearly rooted in fear. And just to be clear, I don't mean to minimize the reality that authentic self-expression is still often bold and dangerous for too many people. But fear, however justifiable, is central. So here I am now, unable to fully live into the freedom of self-expression for fear that I might not be taken seriously. And like many people, I discovered Tank and the Bangas through their 27 NPR Tiny Desk concert. I immediately fell in love, so when one of my choir members informed me they'd be performing a concert in town, I quickly bought a ticket. And when the concert finally came, I loved it. However, I didn't dance or scream, sing along, or do much of anything beyond standing there, soaking it all in. That didn't feel strange to me, at least not in a conscious way. And at the end of the concert, while saying goodbye to the noisy and appreciative crowd, the band's lead said, "Remember to get carried away, because to be grounded is for plants." She was speaking directly to me. She wasn't, clearly, but she was, and I felt it. The following Sunday, our congregation to open worship with the hymn, I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me. I wanted so badly to break free and let loose on it. However, looking out at our, we'll call them, upright congregation, I just couldn't. Most of them wouldn't have minded, but still, I was stuck in my own false idea of their expectations of me. Luckily, as with many of life's developments, there's still time. Wanting to Break Free by Daru Farrar. Throughout the past 9 years of my chaplain ministry, and 5 years prior to that as a registered nurse, I've witnessed and experienced the danger of compassion fatigue. It was especially evident during my second year chaplain residency at Johns Hopkins Hospital. That year, I was tasked with the responsibility to lead a weekly support group for the palliative care physicians in training, I should say. And as you probably know, Johns Hopkins is a reputable and life-changing institution who leads research and medicine in this country and around the world. But perhaps you don't know that the motto for those working at Johns Hopkins and all that painstaking work is, for the glory of working under the dome. And this motto, beyond its truth, puts a level of pressure on healthcare professionals that is one physician, a second-year resident described, that can squash one's humanity. In short, the expectations many healthcare professionals place on themselves or believes is placed upon them, it's just not sustainable. So this support group that I led included physicians in training, advanced practice nurses, pharmacists, and attending physicians. Each week, we took time to reflect on the burdens of the work, the struggle not to take the burden of the work home to the people that we love, and the need to turn inward, to cry and to vent and to laugh. And all of us, myself included, needed to name our pain, the struggle and the fear that we experienced as ourselves in caring for others, and that which we witnessed as caregivers. We needed to be heard, and we needed to hear each other, because the compassion fatigue that we all experienced on varying levels was heavy and it was really real. We found solidarity, release, and hope amidst the compassion fatigue. And this idea, this term of compassion fatigue, what it really means, it's the extreme state of tension and preoccupation with the suffering of those being helped. And it can become so severe that it can create a secondary traumatic stress for the helper. The reality of witnessing and or experiencing trauma and suffering without carving out space for renewal and joy and play can result in burnout. Probably heard that term burnout, but just to be more clear, that's a state of emotional and physical and mental exhaustion. It's caused by excessive and prolonged stress. And as the stress continues, you can even begin to lose interest in motivation in that very thing that led you to this particular role in the first place. It reduces and saps out your energy, leaving you feeling increasingly helpless or hopeless, cynical and resentful. And truly, all of us do serve society in various ways. We're all called to each other, whether that's the way that we make our living or not. And in our current times, the risk for compassion fatigue or burnout, or as some call it, justice fatigue, is more real, perhaps, than we can remember. But there is some good news. Y'all know how I love the good news. Because the antidote to burnout is resilience, which is sometimes described loosely as like if you're resilient, you can kind of roll with the punches. When stress or adversity or trauma strikes, we of course experience lots of emotions, including anger and sadness and grief, but amidst that, we're able to still function, both physically and psychologically. But resilience isn't just about toughing it out, being stoic, or going it alone. In fact, being able to reach out to other people for support is really one way that we offer support to one another and ourselves, and we do that so that we can be renewed and joyful and playful, and these are the key components of being resilient. And again, we can foster and bolster this resilience in the busyness of our lives, both in raising our families, in our living, in our work, in our spirits, in the work for justice, with joy and playfulness. And truly, I tell you, it is right and just to give ourselves space and time for that which gives us life, makes us smile, feel accomplished and happy. It's humble and it's human to take a deep breath and pause. Embark in a task or a hobby or a trip that brings you joy, gives you relief, and renews your hope. Because perhaps the boldest and bravest thing that we can do at times such as these is to be defiantly hopeful. And speaking of defiance, I am reminded of my dear niece, Madison. Now, I've told you stories before of my Swiss-German Anabaptist family who's lived on the same street in Lancaster County since like 1700-something. But I don't think I've mentioned my dear niece, Madison, or Maddie Jean, as I still call her, even though she doesn't like it. She's now 22 and a senior at Temple University in Philadelphia. And her humor and spunk and laughter has inspired me in so many ways throughout her 22 years. But one memory that's come to mind as I think of this joyful play as a sense of renewal occurred when she was just 4. She and I are about 13 years apart in age, and when I was a young teenager, I was one of her babysitters. And I remember a time, it was like some weekday afternoon, when I was babysitting Maddie, and we were at a park, and in the center of the park was this crabapple tree. And, you know, her sweet little 4-year-old self was looking around, standing under this tree, looking at the crabapples, walking around with her head down, picking them up, and, which I thought was kind of gross, and I was running around with hand cleaner, but anyway. I do remember with a giant grin and her little pigeon-toed feet and this big grin on her face, she was clasping her little hands together and she came towards me and she opened up her hands to reveal this slimy, rotting, stinky crab apple. And she said, "Aunt Sage, isn't it beautiful?" While I saw this shriveled up, slimy, nasty crab apple, she saw wonder and joy and magic. Her exuberant, playful joy and defiant sense of hope moved me. It expanded my perspective and invited me to join her in playfulness, in silliness, in discovery and in gratitude. And it reminded me, as we heard from Doreau Farrar, that we need to get carried away sometimes because to be grounded is for plants. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that we turn from the state of emergency and morality that is among us and upon us. I am not encouraging us to be perpetually distracted from the moral and faithful leadership that we are called to. I am not referring to, as the late prophet Toni Morrison described, as the exquisitely human wish for permanent happiness and the thin human imagination trying to achieve it. What I'm talking about is our human need to set aside time for play and joy and to let loose, whether we express that externally or deep within us. To laugh and to cry, to be renewed and inspired by the dignity and worth which courses through us so that we can do the transformative work of love and justice in our community and in our nation. And sometimes I think it's so helpful to look to our history to help us do that. And the Universalist side of our Unitarian Universalist faith points to the many teachings of Augustine of Hippo, who was an early Christian monk, and he was a big proponent of God's grace. And he once said that God is always trying to give good things to us, but our hands are just too full to receive them. Grace is this gift that life keeps trying to give us, but if we are all too busy doing all the things, and our hands, which includes our hearts and our minds, are filled up, we can't receive it. But I believe that throughout history, we humans have survived our deepest struggles because our human spirit rose from the dust with the possibility of joy and praise. So let us make time for it. Let us be defiantly hopeful in the face of hate. Let us let loose in the spirit of life so that we can continue this great work that we are called to. And may our joy be the magic of a crabapple, the truth of a toddler, or a donut in the middle of the day. May it be a decades-old song that transports us to a happy time that we remember every lyric to, even though we can't remember all the things that we think we should be remembering. May it be a game, a hobby, an evening spent with friends. May we joyfully let loose in the spirit of life so that we can answer this call of moral leadership in a world who so deeply needs us. May it be so. Blessed be. Ashe. And amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.